Little Ones, the Sleep Manual podcast.
Welcome back to our podcast, The Sleep Manual. If you're new here, I'm Amanda and I'm here with my Little Ones co-founder, Nikki.
Hi.
We are pediatric sleep consultants and we have helped families all around the world with their baby and toddler sleep. If you need a hand getting your little one to sleep better, simply visit us at www.littleones.co and we can get started on solving your current sleep challenges. Today on the podcast, we are discussing the baby sleep products that we loved and those we didn't.
Yep, a bit of a different episode this week. The thing is, there are so many products out there aimed at helping your baby sleep better. And we do get suckered into buying a lot of them and actually end up spending so much money on a whole bunch of things. And I've totally been there in the past. But what items are necessary and what items aren't? So we're going to start with baby sleep products we love and can't live without. And just a disclaimer, there is actually no sponsorship or affiliate links or anything in this podcast. This is just our genuine, honest opinion. We do genuinely love these products that we're talking about. And then we're going to look at sleep products, quote unquote, that we hate. Well, hate is quite a strong word, but that aren't that necessary. Yeah. That are oversold.
That's perhaps, right.
Or over-advertised.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think, first of all, the first one that we already go on about a million times is blackout blinds. Whether they are your own permanent curtains or your own blinds, then obviously that is fine. But you can get loads of portable ones or semi-permanent or temporary ones that you can take out with you, or if you're in a rental, or take to hotels or whatever. So a couple of those are Sleepy Sundays. Any sort of other portable blind that is out there, you can even, if you really want to, and I have done this for a baby once who slept at my house when my own children were sleeping and I actually didn't have another spare room, and I just used tin foil or aluminum foil on a window. It was a real temporary solution and made the room perfectly black.
I'll just take us back quickly to Sleepy Sunday. So Sleepy Sundays is an Australian brand, I believe, and they have really incredible blackout blinds that that you can put on. They're not permanent, so even if you are renting, you can you can have these blinds on your windows. You can take them down. They're in like a massive range of sizes. They are really, really good. We've done quite a few giveaways of these on our social media because we actually really, really like these blinds. Blackout blinds of any kind, really. There are also some really cool blackout pram covers or stroller covers you can get as well, which we would also recommend, because if you're trying to get your little one to do their naps out and about and on the go, recreating their at-home sleep environment is the best place to start. So having something that can black out your little one's stroller is a really good idea.
And I think that's one thing that actually we are quite used to in the Southern Hemisphere. I know that most of our prams come with shade covers or, you know, covers for our babies. But I know that in the UK and in the US, they don't often come with these, or they don't even have the option of having these. So make sure you do check out online stroller covers, because they are a thing. We've got them all down here. And it makes sleeping your baby in their stroller or pram much easier when it is dark, for sure.
Yeah, so we love blackout blinds.
Yeah. We also love white noise.
We do. We love it so much.
Talk us through it, Nikki.
And we love it so much that we made our own white noise albums, several of them, and they are on all streaming platforms. We talk about white noise in literally every episode of this podcast. We talk about it in every video we make, because it's just the most understated sleep tool. People don't realize how incredibly effective it can be. And so, I mean, I'm only going to talk about our own white noise tracks as a product we love, because why would I talk about anybody else's? We have one specific white noise track, which is
magic
a sleep shush sound, and it's this repetitive
magic
magic shush track, and it's especially effective for young babies. It initiates the calming reflex. It will soothe them. It will stop them from crying. It will encourage them to link their sleep cycles. So please check out our white noise. Like I said, it's on all streaming platforms. Our artist name is obviously Little Ones. The good thing about our white noise is that you can play it. You can play it through a little speaker that is in your little one's nursery. You can have a little portable speaker that you take out with you. Like we were talking about before, if you want to go out and about, take your blackout stroller cover, take your little portable Bluetooth speaker and play the white noise, and people will think you're crazy walking down the street and there's this loud shushing sound coming from within, from inside the stroller. We've all been there.
I used to just use my phone.
Use your phone. Yeah,
use my phone. I know some people don't like their phones being close to their babies when they're sleeping, and this is where airplane mode works perfectly, because it also obviously stops all phone messages and alerts and notifications coming in. So when you're out and about, and when Nikki was talking about, you know, portable speakers and things, our tracks are also on Amazon, and you can get your Alexas too. My Alexa behind me is probably going to start binging while I talk about this. You can get Alexa to play our tracks as well, and I think it's just super, super easy and amazing to get your little ones to sleep as having that track play. And obviously, as they get older, though, they don't need the shush track as much. We used it till about 8 months old with our children, and then we just changed to a normal white noise sound. You cannot use white noise enough.
No,
honestly,
it is incredible. Let's move on. The next thing that we love are swaddles, but not every swaddle.
Not every swaddle, no. Both of us actually use slightly different swaddles.
Yeah.
So I used with my children the Love to Dream swaddle, and again, another Australian brand here. The Love to Dream swaddle is a fitted swaddle. It's got a zip, but it's slightly different from any other fitted swaddles, where it allows their little hands to stay up by their face, and this allows them to, when they're sleeping, to be able to sort of use their hands to rub their face, or they sometimes suck their hands or whatever they're doing. A little bit more free, yeah. It also makes it easier for you to pick up the baby if you need to pick it up when you are whatever you're doing, if you're changing a nappy or soothing them. And it also makes it quite easy to be able to side settle them in a Love to Dream swaddle, because you can sort of roll them on their side and have your hand on their waist and rib cage and under their arm, and be able to bum tap them.
Another benefit is you can put them in a car seat or strap them in a stroller.
Yeah.
Because if you've got a traditional, like, arms down fitted swaddle, like any arms down swaddle, you can't use in a car seat, because even if they have, you know, a lot of swaddles have that little car seat flap at the back, which is awesome, and you just stick the car seat clicky bit through that and you unzip a little bit at the front. But unless the restraints can go over the shoulders and sort of down, then you can't use a car seat. So a Love to Dream swaddle can be used in a car seat and the stroller. I generally found that my children were a little bit more flappy, a bit more dramatic, and they
wonder where they got that from.
No, I don't know. All three of them didn't do so well when they were really little in a Love to Dream, because they just needed a really like a tighter hands down swaddle. So I used Ergo Pouch, also an Australian brand. Ergo Pouch have had some really, really good swaddles. Also, Swaddle Me is a newer swaddle brand, and I've actually bought and used this swaddle with a friend's baby, and it is so easy. Again, it's you put the baby in, you zip it up, but it's arms down, and then you wrap this kind of fabric section around their midsection, and it velcros shut. So They're really tight. So some babies like my own, which are a bit more flappy and have a strong Morrow reflex, and they can be a bit unsettled with a looser fitting swaddle, or mine couldn't cope with the Love to Dream swaddles till they were a little bit older. So those arms down ones are really fantastic. When I said we don't like swaddles, I should just mention, the only swaddle I really wouldn't like, to be honest, would be just like a stretchy blanket that you're
Which I actually used,
amazingly good at wrapping it around. There's no way it's ever going to stay around your baby as they start wriggling.
Well, once they start wriggling. I actually did use a stretchy blanket for the first couple of weeks, but if you are swaddling like this, they do have to be stretchy. Yeah. If they are not stretchy, definitely cannot be getting them tight enough. But just going back to the Love to Dreams, the other advantage with the Love to Dream swaddle is that you can unzip, keep them swaddled, and you can unzip the bottom and change their nappy or diaper whilst they're still swaddled. And you can also burp them really easily. So you can, if you're doing those dream feeds or night feeds, you actually don't have to get them out of the swaddle as such, which I found fantastic. And my kids were horrific to burp, especially my first one. But she could still be burped inside with her little arms up inside the swaddle.
So my friend's just moved her baby, well, in the last few months, moved her baby from a swaddle me, like the tighter swaddle, to a Love to Dream. And now he's in the process of being unswaddled. And the version of the Love to Dream she has the little arm bits zip off.
Yeah.
So she just zips off one arm so he can practice having one arm out while the other arm's still zipped in. And then when he's good at that, he starts having the other arm zipped out for some of his naps. So They do definitely have transitional swaddles as well.
They have lots of different transition swaddles. They have lighter swaddles for summer. They have thicker ones for winter. You know, they are definitely a fave. Yeah. And but only work, as Nikki said, for kids that aren't flapping their arms all over the show. Also, it does depend too on making sure that you've actually got the right sized swaddle.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
For those really tiny weeny prem babies or tiny babies, I know, like, I had the small for, or the newborn size for my children, and it wasn't really, and they were big kids when they were born. Well, they were sort of medium sized, but anyway, they weren't small, but they didn't really fit. That swaddle wasn't really tight until sort of 3 weeks old. So,
moving on from...
Shall we move on to sleeping
but
bags?
But linked to swaddles, yes, is sleeping bags. So once your little one is old enough to be unswaddled, which is generally somewhere between 4 to 6 months old, depending on when they're rolling and if they've outgrown their swaddle and all that, and they're ready to come out of their swaddle, we always wholeheartedly recommend your little one sleeps in a baby sleeping bag or sleep sack, not blankets. We'll talk more about blankets in our products we hate section. I shouldn't say hate. I'm going to stop saying hate. Products we don't like quite as much.
And we don't recommend.
Yes. But yeah, baby sleeping bags are fantastic. If you've never seen one, it's like a blanket kind of, but it's got...
It's like a sleeping bag really, actual sleeping bag, but it's attached to you.
Yeah. So it goes up over their shoulders. There's always a zip involved, and it's like a sleeping bag blanket that they wear, essentially. They're very cute. But again, like the swaddles, you can get different weights, so different thicknesses, so that you get summer ones, we used to even have, I think, like a muslin summer one, really lightweight summer ones, and then you get nice, thick, warm, super warm winter ones. And I'm just going to say, first of all, that my absolute favourite sleeping bag brand was Ergo Pouch. I love their patterns, they're so pretty. But
I didn't really have a favorite one.
I loved these bags.
I loved the Ergo Pouch, but I had a different brand one, and I think I just by the time Ergo Pouch came out
got big.
I'd already bought all of the other ones, but even, you know, Kmart
there are some Cotton On, I know, has that, and actually quite cute ones.
Target.
I had one from there, yeah. But Walmart. The thing actually, if I just go back to Ergo Pouch, because we would always recommend keeping your little one in a sleeping bag as long as humanly possible, because A, blankets are difficult. And B, once you move your baby to a, well, your toddler at this point, into an actual bed, if you can keep them in their sleeping bag, then it sort of hinders them from getting out of bed a bit. But I'll tell you what Ergo Pouch do that is fantastic.
With the feet one?
Yes! So they have like a sleeping bag that zips up the middle to create, it looks like a starfish. It's like a starfish suit. Like it's got legs. So then your kids can actually walk in it and they go up to size 4. So by the time I was using Ergo Pouch, which was mostly for my youngest, and we had a two-story house and the kids' bedrooms were upstairs, and it always made me really uncomfortable that she would try and walk down the stairs in her sleeping bag, like a little slug going down the stairs, but I could foresee broken necks. So then around that time, Ergo Pouch brought out this one with these separate legs, and it was just a lifesaver. And they had it in a duvet weight, like really warm winter weight one, and it had long arms even, and it had long legs, and that was absolutely fantastic. I loved that bag. Amanda, do you want to, talking about the fabric, do you want to talk about why fabric is important? Because it is.
Yes, so the fabric of swaddles and also sleeping bags is generally, and should be, rated by this rating called a TOG rating, which is the thermal overall grade. Now, interestingly, the manufacturers who actually make these have to have a specific certificate and ability to even make these types of things for children to have this TOG rating. So it's highly regulated. Right back to the manufacturing. So what this means is basically the higher the TOG rating, the thicker the duvet or the sleeping bag, the swaddle is. So you can get right up to a 3.5 TOG sleeping bag, which is for rooms, I think under, just off the top of my head, I want to say rooms under 16 degrees. Yeah, so I think it basically... Or, 16 degrees Celsius. Or I'll just quickly bring it up. 1 second. It's 16 degrees Celsius or 51 degrees Fahrenheit. So rooms under 16 degrees, you'd want to have a 3.5 TOG. Then you'd have your general winter 2.5 TOG, which would be sort of between rooms between 18. 16 and 20 degrees, and then how you manage it is changing you either keep the bedroom at the same sort of temperature we'll go on further with a heater thing, or you manage it by changing the layers of what your baby is wearing. Then you've got a sort of one of those seasonal like spring autumn, the change of seasons, one TOG. Those are for rooms between 20 and 24 degrees or 69 and 75 degrees Fahrenheit. And then you've got your summer rating, which is generally in the point something, so 0.2 or 0.3. And those would be for really hot rooms where you're over 24 degrees or over 75 degrees Fahrenheit.
What we also need to recommend regarding fabric for swaddles and sleeping bags is to only use natural fibres. So anything that is fleece, polar fleece, polyester, anything like that is actually not very good in your little one's sleep environment because it doesn't help them to regulate their own body temperature. They can overheat. And then even if they overheat, they might sweat. Their sweat can cool on their body and then they actually get too cold. So we would always recommend, especially for very young babies, stay away from those man-made type fabrics. Stick with cotton, merino, bamboo, wool. Those are your absolute safest options.
They are more expensive, these fabrics, but they are well worth it to keep your baby regulated and just safe.
Yeah.
Because they will overheat in the other fabrics.
Okay, so then Amanda sort of briefly started talking about how keeping the nursery temperature consistent, and this is another baby sleep product that we love, and that is some kind of heater, timer, or thermostat. So we had ones when our kids were really little. Ours was called a Heater Mate. But you can get very similar type ones on Amazon, I've seen.
Yeah, but I think we might explain it a bit more. It's not just a normal thermostat. The way that these worked was actually quite logical, really. Yeah. It's sort of like a thermostat, but as you know, thermostats, if they are on the heater, for example,
where
in
they
the room,
are.
Then they're going to get disrupted by the actual temperature of the heater. So as the room, well, as the heater heats up, it's going to think the room's getting warmer, which isn't necessarily the case. So the way that the heater mate works, or the one I really like, is the Amazon one that has a little Bluetooth thermometer measurer thing on the other side of the room, is that the heater is plugged into the heater mate or the heater cord, yes, the actual plug is plugged into the thermostat, and then you move the heater to
the other
as far away as possible, and making sure that it is in a safe place. But the heater will literally, all it does is just turn on and off depending on how where the cord is measuring the temperature. It's quite hard to explain, but yeah, have a look. There are these heater thermostat timer things that are available, and they also work. You can also put them on as a summer option as well, where it you literally just get it to turn on and off a fan, like a desk fan or something
similar, where or something.
Where it can then cool the room down.
The goal is to be able to control that temperature as much as you can, because we know and we've seen how much temperature can affect a little one's sleep, especially in winter or in spring where it is pretty cold, starts to get pretty cold at 5 a.m. in the morning, and some babies are starting to wake at this point, and people are trying to figure out why, and they're problem solving all these things, but it's actually just that they've gotten a bit cold. So you really, the ability to control the nursery temperature is super, super crucial. Let's talk about cuddlies, another thing we absolutely love. And to be honest, my nearly 8-year-old still loves her cuddlies.
Yeah, so you've got a favourite, which your 8-year-old still has, and that is, what is it?
Oh, my 8-year-old with her thumb, do you mean?
No, her thumb, no. Her cuddlies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, so my almost 8-year-old next month. Yours is very soon, actually, Amanda.
I know.
So this is one of my favourite brand of cuddlies. It's called a Cusky or a Cusky, depends, I suppose, how you say it. And it's the only way I can describe it is that it's like a tennis ball with fabric over. So it's, I mean, the idea of a cuddly or a comforter or a lovey is that your little one has like a little security item that they sleep with. It's a positive sleep association. They leave it in their bed. When they go to bed, you know, my kids used to look forward to seeing their cuddlies because they'd go into their cot and they're like, yay, there's my cuddlies. And it would, you know, immediately helps get them in the zone for sleep. My eldest had these two little pink random bunny things. My son had a different random bunny thing. And then Cha-Cha had these Cuskies. And the thing about Cuskies is they're made of organic cotton. And on the website, it tells you that they're specifically weighted so that they would always fall away from a baby's face. I guess that's the kind of tennis ball sort of head part of it.
Head looking thing.
Yeah. I was looking at pictures. I came across some pictures the other day of when Cha was really little, and there's one of her sleeping with these Cuskies, and they're like bright pink. And you look at them now and they're like this almost like a pale shade of grey.
Yeah.
But she still to this day has them in her bed. Unfortunately, I mean, we always recommend for people, if you're getting a comforter for your baby, that you get two. So there's a spare when you have to wash one, or one goes to daycare. And all of my kids at different times somehow discovered the other one, or accidentally ended up finding out that there were two. And as soon as they knew that there were two, they had to have both. And so my kids always then
geniusly
ended up,
my kids have still never found out.
Honestly, it's like,
and I've still got them.
Yeah.
The problem that I have is it's now kind of, once they find out, it's going to be like the tooth fairy, or like all of these things are going to be
come crashing down.
So I've got to keep hiding them.
So Cha-Cha still has her two. Interestingly, my 12-year-old, she sleeps with about 10,000 fluffy toys every night, like teddy bears and, I don't know, leopards and all sorts. And I was in there the other night putting her to bed, and I see her two baby cuddlies sitting on her bed, like in amongst all the fluffy toys. And I was like, what are these? And she got all embarrassed. And she's like, oh, nothing, nothing.
So one of the things that is so cute. Mm. So one of the things that the reasons why all of the dummy fairy, the pacifier fairy, the tooth fairy are all going to come crashing down is because my daughter, who used her comforter, was a Sleepy Tot, which is another product that we absolutely love. And the reason that Sleepy Tot had to go away was because it attaches dummies or pacifiers to it. It is a fantastic tool to, if you do have a baby that has a dummy or a pacifier, after the age of about 7-8 months old, you can teach them to start getting their own pacifier and putting it in. And what the Sleepy Tot does is it's sort of a cuddly crossed with a pacifier holder. So it holds those dummies in place for you. It holds four of them, one on each arm and one on each foot. And it makes it easy for your baby to be able to grab them and put them on, put them in their mouth. And then, of course, they sort of use it like a bit of a cuddly as well. Babies love just rubbing their top lip and of their face with their cuddlies.
Our toys like the fabric by their face, remember?
Yeah, like over their face as well.
It's so cute. So we love
Sleepy Tot. Yeah, Sleepy Tot's a great one if you've got a dummy or pacifier as well.
Last on our list, although I'm sure there's more things, but this was all I could think of at the time. Last on our list of things we love is a baby monitor. And if possible and preferable, a video baby monitor. But I mean, a lot of people have baby monitors. You understand the idea of it as you can hear when your baby is awake or when they're upset or when they're crying, so you can go and tend to them rather than having to just manually check on them or whatever. We always liked video monitors, I think, because actually what I learned with Max was that he would happily lie there in silence but awake for quite a while. And if I hadn't had the ability to actually look at the video monitor and know that he wasn't asleep yet, I actually would have got a lot of stuff wrong with his sleep timings. Like, you know, if he's lying there for half an hour awake before he falls asleep, and then I think he's already been asleep for half an hour, that would actually massively affect what time I'd be waking him up, what time I'd be planning his next nap, and then a whole lot of stuff's going to start unraveling from there because he's potentially going to be undertired and all the rest of it. So being able to actually see your baby, which is so creepy when they're sleeping, and stalk them.
Well,
the reason
that I really liked video monitors is because what you could put them on mute, or you could put them have the sound off so that you could actually sleep. Because any baby monitor, any new parent will, if they have a baby monitor, will have it right next to them on their bedside table, and you will hear every single sound, grizzle, cry, cough, sneeze, anything. But what I did was I would put it on mute, and then because she was only in the room next door, if she cried loud enough, then I would wake up. And I think that's key. Like, you've got to think that back 50 years ago, we didn't have monitors. If the baby cried, you woke up. And if they need you, you will wake up. But what I could do is I could turn the video monitor on, look at it, and decide if she actually needed help or not. Because if she was sneezing or crying and just grizzling and just going back to sleep, I could look, go, yeah, you're safe. You're actually, her eyes are going back to sleep. Or maybe she just lost her dummy or something like that. You could look, see what she was doing, but then not have to get out of bed, which is, I think, pretty crucial when you're a tired, exhausted mother.
Yeah.
But put them on mute, especially if your baby is on the same level as your house You do not need the sound on.
Yeah, you will hear them.
You will definitely hear them.
But yeah, being able to look at your baby, that's the key. So, I mean, these days, video monitors aren't even as expensive as they were when my kids were babies. And you can get ones now that you, that's just the camera and you use your phone and you can look at, and that's that's awesome, because if someone else is looking after your baby, wherever you are, you're also able to check in and see what's going on.
And mildly creepy, but that's what you can do.
I love stalking my kids. All right, so that is things.
Just another thing with monitors. Sorry, just quickly going back to monitors. And whether it's voice, video, whatever, the other good thing that you can do is you can actually use your voice to soothe them over the monitor as well. Yeah. So that is super crucial of, again, not having to get out of bed. Super lazy. Clearly we're lazy parents. Yeah. Cool. All right, so shall we move on?
Moving on to products we definitely like less.
Dislike.
Yeah. So the first, and it's kind of like a don't even get me started, is musical mobiles. Now, what kills me about musical mobiles is that they are definitely marketed, and all the advertising and marketing for it, they're shown hanging above a baby's bed, and it's like, soothe your little one to sleep with these ridiculous and very stimulating toys that are going around with a super annoying song that's going to turn off after 1 minute. And then, but I'll tell you this, if you're trying to use one of those to get your baby to sleep, or even in your baby's sleeping space, there is no way that your baby is sleeping. Get it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Put them over the change table or the...
So much better.
So much better to keep them entertained,
yes,
because
it's an entertainment,
as you know,
entertainment tool.
Changing a nappy with a baby or toddler is a disaster. Yeah. So having them look at something distracting is fantastic, but don't use them for sleep. No.
Get them out of the sleep space. And that goes for like, you know, you get these, someone gave my eldest, that was this like, I feel like it was a seahorse. It was pink. And it had a light up tummy. It was a seahorse. It had a light up tummy, and you squeezed it, and it would activate. Mm. And it was, and it was marketed as like a sleep tool for babies. But you squeeze, or children, you squeeze it, and the light comes on in the stomach, and it plays the song. And I'm going, how is that helping your child sleep? Like, if you accidentally rolled over onto that in the night, you'd get a hell of a fright. Musical things are out. Get rid of them.
So, nightlights. Oh, so this moves on. We're moving on to our next
nightlights,
product.
Nightlights for babies.
Don't like as much. No. Nightlights for young babies. Mm-hmm. So babies under the age of 2 years old do not need a nightlight. They do not have the imagination and the brain development that actually causes fear of the dark. They've come from the dark. They are used to the dark. They find the dark comforting and soothing. So don't light it with a nightlight.
No.
Especially, this kills me, the ones that are blue.
Or those star projection ones.
Yes.
Your three-month-old baby does not need to be studying the constellations.
No, so if you need a nightlight for feeding in the middle of the night, then maybe pop one in the hallway or have your lights on super dim, or just turn it on whilst you're feeding. But your baby does not need a nightlight.
No. And if you are using a nightlight for those feeds, make sure it's a red emitting nightlight. You can get LED ones. You can change the color. All of the technology these days.
Keep it red. That is the least stimulating light that you can possibly have overnight. Blue is the worst. And honestly, if you've ever stayed in a hotel where they've got the clock where it's got a blue light, if you wake up in the middle of the night, it'll be like piercing in your brain.
Like disco lights. Normally I love disco lights, but not in that context.
No. So where nightlights do come into their own is when your baby or toddler does actually have a fear of the dark and they've started waking because of this. So that is only ever going to happen though over the age of 2 years old. And if you're one of the nightlights that I recommend for these toddlers is the Alloca nightlight, and the Alloca one has like a sleep timer, so you can just have it on while they're going to sleep, or you can have it on super dim. It has like extra low levels, mm-hmm. Which you'll definitely want it on, and is red as well. You can change all the colors, but try and keep it on red.
The Alohka ones are beautiful because they're like a clear,
they are pretty.
Clear acrylic light, and you can get, well, they come in all different shapes. You can get dinosaur ones, yeah. or fairy ones, or well, whatever, cars and trucks and
animals, yeah. and zoo animals, and
yeah, yeah. they're really
pretty. They are good.
Yeah, they are cool.
But only over 2 years old,
and only
right?
red.
And only red, yeah.
Linked to, sort of linked to musical mobiles, is something else in the sleep environment that I strongly dislike and is actually unsafe. And that is a whole bunch of stuff in your little one's cot or crib. There's, I mean, cot yeah. bumpers are actually not a safe sleeping thing.
They're, I got caught into this one with my
yeah,
first.
You want to make them look actually, beautiful.
Yeah, and, yeah. I saw all these pictures on Pinterest
that's
of
right.
these beautiful
padded cot bumpers and
padded, mm-hmm. beautiful rooms with these mm-hmm. padded cot bumpers, and socially, totally, like, immediately took them out.
Yeah, very, very unsafe for sleep. And, I mean, any kind of those toys, those fidgety toys that strap on the edge of the cot,
those.
And they've got levers and buttons, and they push
Your baby does not need to play in their cot.
The cot is not
If you're letting your toddler or baby play in their cot, there is something up with their sleep.
Yeah.
And they will start associating their cot or crib with playing, like playtime, rather than sleeping. Mm. So you're just sort of fighting a bit of a losing battle there by doing
Get
that.
Get stuff like that out of their crib. And the same goes for our very next things we dislike, and I mentioned it earlier, and that is cot blankets and bedding. Again...
Yeah.
And I sort of get suckered into this stuff too, because I like beautiful things, and I see these sort of these beautiful blankets and all of it, and you're like, oh, look. But the reality is, unless you just use it for decoration when your child's not even in there, which is weird, and I hope you wouldn't do that, it's just not beneficial to your baby to be sleeping amongst a whole lot of blankets and all sorts of stuff in their cot, and it's not safe.
And they just, even with an 8-10 month old, 1.5 year old, even a 2.5 year old, they just can't pull up blankets
they can't
if they get cold.
Blankets at that
they can't
age.
Manage it.
No. So it's not worth it.
So moving on to the next product that we don't recommend is any sort of sleep patches, drops, medicines. Moisturizers I've seen, and oils.
Baby bath, wash. Oh, there's nothing wrong with using a lavender bath, wash or soap or anything like that. But that is not the thing that is going to make your baby sleep better. I promise you.
No. So we've seen all over Facebook and Instagram and all over social media any sort of these sleep patches allegedly miracle patches that will just immediately put your baby to sleep. Medicines as well. Mm-hmm. If you are in the States and you're using over-the-counter melatonin, you probably want to look at your baby's sleep first rather than trying to do
Band-aid.
Any of these things. Mm. As Nikki just said, they're Band-Aid, they're patches to patch over an underlying issue. There's I don't know, drops that you can use. There's all sorts
creams.
Of things.
Yeah, there's all sorts.
Creams.
At the end of the day, if your baby isn't sleeping well, it's not because they don't have enough lavender in their life. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair. Have you seen that? There was that meme going around on social media where it was like, they say lavender is good at reducing stress, and then it says me, and there's a picture of a person entirely like buried alive in lavender. That is almost
it is beautiful.
What you would have to do for it to be that effective in getting, like, it does help. For sure. I mean, lavender.
If it's part of your
routine,
your sleep routine or your bedtime routine, and having a massage or whatever, then that is fine. And use the lavender.
But it's not a miracle.
But don't then think that your patches or these extra things or whatever are going to help. I can guarantee if you started using some other oil or some other thing, it would still work if you were still kept that sleep routine going. So anyway, let's move on to the next thing, which is anything made out of fleece. We've already talked about materials. Mm-hmm. Anything that is made out of polyester or anything that is a non-natural fibre, it is just so dangerous. Nikki's talked about it. The baby, they will sweat.
Do you know what I see? They're not good. Do you know what I see even at baby stores, not just at generic department stores of all ages, is like pyjamas made out of polar fleece for babies and like toddlers. And like onesie suits with the cute feet.
Yes.
Fully made out of polar fleece.
But if you look at them, they're actually not called pajamas. They're generally called something else. Like they're not like, actually sort of recommended. What are they, like those hoodies and things like that. Like
loungewear, you know, but not loungewear. You don't have loungewear for your baby. But yeah, I know what you mean. But it's just so dangerous. Like just don't do it.
So dangerous.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Last one, Amanda. So,
last one, baby rockers or swings for sleep. Now, these are not safe. No. They're not sustainable in the long term. However, I can tell you I have used these for my babies with reflux, but not for sleep. Mm. You use them when they're in their awake time to be able to sit up to keep that reflux up or keep them stimulated in some other way, but don't use them for sleep.
No.
And yeah, it's just not sustainable. You can't have your 8-month-old rocking away in a,
in a baby swing. No.
In a baby swing.
No. And I mean, and I think these days, thankfully, the manufacturers do not market them for sleep as much as they used to. They definitely did when our babies were little, but there's been a lot of controversy around it. People have had situations where their little ones have been in there for sleep and their heads have fallen forward and they've stopped breathing and all these horrific situations. And I think that at least they're not being marketed like that. But I know some people still, out of desperation, and I totally get still think, why my baby's not sleeping, I'm going to chuck them in the baby swing and they'll just rock and I can, they'll actually sleep in there. And I do get that. But if that's the situation, then ask people like us how we can actually help your baby sleep without resorting to those kind of, again, those band-aid solutions.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully that helps you determine where you should spend your money when you are setting up your little one's nursery or deciding if it's something that you've seen on social media or on TV and if it is actually worth it. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to this episode about baby sleep products that we love and, let's say, dislike.
I hate.
And please check out our other podcasts for so much more sleep advice and visit our website at littleones.co if you are in need of any more sleep tips or sleep help with your little one.
This is Little Ones, the Sleep Manual Podcast.